Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. Yes, once again, Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, coming to you much too soon. What, you ask? Well, I did my last podcast on Thursday instead of last Saturday, so this is way too soon to do another podcast. As a matter of fact, I don't have much to say at all. So we're going to do something rather different this week. We're going to be boring. How's that? That should get you really going. Okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to play some geek culture that I played for you a long time ago that you've already heard if you've been listening to the podcast for any length of time. If you haven't been listening to the podcast very long, don't worry, it will be new to you. Okay, by the way, this is podcast number 78 for March 3rd, 19. I almost did it again. See, that's the problem with living in the last century. I lived a whole lot of my life in the last century, and it was always 1955, 1960, 1970, 1980, 1990, and here it is, the year 2007, and I just haven't got used to it yet. Give me another 20 years or so, and I'll get it. Okay, here's the thing. This is 2007, so it's March the 3rd, 2007. Very odd, isn't it? Anyway, we're going to play some geek culture that I played on the podcast long ago, probably so long ago that you don't remember it anyway, and if I hadn't told you, you wouldn't know that it's not new geek culture, so I probably should have just kept my mouth shut. So here it is, three dead trolls in a baggie on how to buy a computer. Listen very closely. It's very edumacational. That's the correct way to mispronounce educational, by the way, is edumacational.
Hi, this is Wes and Paul from Three Dead Trolls in a Baggie. And welcome to How to Buy a Computer. Over the next few minutes, we're going to explain to you a few simple hints that will take the fear out of buying a personal computer.
That's right. You know, Wes, a lot of people out there are asking themselves if they should buy a computer.
Well, I'm asking myself that right now.
Exactly. And the answer is, if you get bored waiting around for the things you own to become obsolete, then a computer is for you.
You bet. Uh-huh. Now, the single most important factor to keep in mind when buying your new computer is size.
Mm.
Get one that's too big to throw out the window, because that's what you're going to want to do at least three times a day.
Good point, Wes.
That's
going to save you big money in the long run.
Mm-hmm. Remember, though, folks, computers are getting smaller and smaller all the time, so it might be a good idea to avoid problems down the road by moving into a basement suite with tiny windows now.
The next thing you'll need to decide is whether to buy a laptop or a desktop computer.
Good point, Paul. You know, a few years ago, all computers were desktop computers, and that means they were compact enough to be operated on a desk. But if you put them on a table or a counter or, God forbid, your lap, they'd shoot deadly beams into your eyes and then explode.
You don't want that.
No.
Now, however, we have laptop computers. The word laptop comes from a Latin expression meaning, don't drop this.
Laptop computers are designed to be light and portable so that you can impress strangers on airplanes.
I like to do that.
Yeah.
Whichever type of computer you buy, an important consideration is RAM. How much RAM should you buy? Well, in the words of Ernest Hemingway, buy a lot of RAM.
You know, here's a good tip when buying RAM. Ooh. Think of a very large number. Think of the biggest number you can think of.
Okay.
And then multiply it by 8.
Okay.
That's how much RAM you need.
Wow.
Yeah.
RAM comes in bunches of 8. 8 megabytes, 16 megabytes, 32 megabytes, 12,546,112 megabytes.
The reason RAM only comes in bunches of 8 is because inside your computer, the RAM is manipulated by tiny elves who only have 8 fingers.
I like it when elves manipulate things. Make sure your new computer comes with a CD-ROM. This is important because a CD-ROM drive allows you to access interactive versions of encyclopedias, atlases, cookbooks, and other kinds of boring books that you wouldn't normally buy in a million years.
You know, a CD-ROM also allows you to access multimedia.
Whoa, what is multimedia?
Well, multimedia is just like ordinary media, but not as good.
Sort of like this.
Yeah. For example, you could watch a video on your computer. A boring video of things you don't care about, but smaller and more flickery.
It's like owning a TV that's 3 inches wide.
Well, with all this information in hand, you're all set to go out and buy your new computer.
Okay.
The only thing you need to know now, Paul, is where do I buy it?
We suggest you try IKEA, where they have those hollow plastic fake computers they use to show off their desks.
Oh, yes. If you can manage to steal one of those, you'll have a great-looking computer to impress your friends. And nobody will be able to tell it's fake, especially after it's got that convincing layer of dust on it.
Well, that's all the time we have. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, yes. And remember, buying a computer isn't something you should be afraid of.
No way.
Even if you make a mistake and get the wrong one, it'll be obsolete so fast it just won't matter.
Good night.
Okay, that was enlightening, wasn't it? How to buy a computer. I particularly like the idea of the RAM. Just picture in your mind the biggest number you can possibly think of and then multiply by 8, and that's how much RAM you need. Yes, that's about right. Anyway, there you go. The geek culture for this week, a retread from the past. We're going to do a lot of retreading from the past. And not only that, I want you to know, as always, that
this show is a proud member of the TechPodcast.com network. Find out more about this show and others at www.techpodcast.com. Tech Podcast. If it's tech, it's here.
See, we are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network, and as I like to do, we're going to play a promo for one of the other Tech Podcast Network programs. This is a promo for Buana.org Radio. Yes, it is strange, isn't
it? This is Buana.org Radio. Stand by for promo. You're the announcer.
Not your ordinary tech show. Buana.org Radio. A virtual potpourri of technology. Buana.org Radio. It's tech news, video game reviews, open source software, and general gadgets. It's not just for Mac or Windows. Buana talks about both.
It's been an exciting, exciting week if you're an Apple fan or if you're a Microsoft Windows fan.
Check out Buana.org Radio by going to Buana.org. That's BWANA.org. It's Buana.org Radio. Check it out today.
That's right. Check it out. Buana.org Radio. They come up with some really interesting names for these tech podcast shows, don't they? Not the least of which is Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Speaking of which, you know, our old buddy Scott Redman. Yes, Scott is the webmaster of Guilford County, and he is probably the best computer graphics dude that I know personally. Not that I know too many personally, but that's besides the point. The point is Scott sent us yet another winner of a graphic, and we're going to put that up on the blog. Maybe even by the time you listen to this, the header for Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon will be his new header. Now you might say, okay, where do I go see that? Well, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably have already been there. But in case you're listening to it over Odeo or iTunes or some other place that it is stuck throughout the entire web universe, you need to go to the origin point, yes, the source of Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon, which is thecomputercurmudgeon.com, which, of course, you can find at thecomputercurmudgeon.com. There you go, Dr. Bill, thecomputercurmudgeon.com, thecomputercurmudgeon.com. Yes, I did it slow on purpose just so you could spell it correctly. So you can back up your MP3 and listen to it. And of course, this week, for the first time, you might be listening over an OGG format. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. Because that's pretty much all we have left to talk about this week on the podcast. Remember, I said I did one Thursday, and now I'm doing one on Saturday, and that's just not enough time to gather up a bunch of stuff to talk about on the podcast. So, we're going to just talk about one thing. But it's one big thing, and that is OGG. OGG. Remember I said earlier, this week when I did my podcast on Thursday, that OGG is not a caveman. Matter of fact, it turned out to be the OGG is not a caveman edition of the podcast. Well, the reason is OGG, you see, is a format for an open, totally free audio codec, actually compression for audio, that is then vorbicized. You see, that's the container that you put the OGG in. I believe that's right. Maybe I should check that out. Here it is. Let's read the actual official information here. It is most commonly used in conjunction with the OGG container. Ah, so Vorbis is the official audio codec, and then OGG is the container. I had it reversed. See? If you reverse your reciprocal Jabberwocky, you end up in lots of trouble. Therefore, you have to read to find out what the actual status is. Anyway, OGG Vorbis is basically the official open source audio format. Now, there's also OGG Theora. OGG Theora is the video version of the audio ESC. And you might say, why Theora? Well, Theora was the controller for Max Headroom. You remember Max Headroom? Yeah. Anyway, so Theora was his controller. And if you don't remember the program, go look it up. It's bound to be on YouTube or somewhere. But it was a very odd program, and I liked it a lot. Anyway, bottom line is, OGG Vorbis is a format that we can do our podcasts in if everybody will get smart and download the VLC player, which will play the OGG Vorbis format, since Windows Media Player will not. For that reason, I'm going to be able to offer the podcast as both OGG Vorbis and MP3 until they come down crashing around our ears with MP3 destroying patent infringement lawsuits and things of that nature, and at that point it will only be OGG Vorbis, but nobody will remember what an MP3 is, kind of like nobody remembers what a vinyl record is. So there you go. Okay. Now, if you are looking to migrate over to OGG Vorbis, then you're going to need to be able to convert all of those MP3s that you have cluttering up your hard drive, and for that we have the Geek Software of the Week. Now, you may wonder about the Geek Software of the Week. How is it that I was able to say that without playing the official Geek Software of the Week drum roll? Well, it's because I didn't set it up on my button. I have to play it in a non-standard fashion. And there it is! The official Geek Software of the Week promo sound a little bit late. Anyway, point is that the Geek Software of the Week this week is WinLame. There goes my email. People sending me email in the middle of a podcast. Gotta wonder about that. At any rate, point is, Geek Software of the Week this week is WinLame. Now, that is not a commentary on the fact that Windows is lame. Okay? Lame is an encoder-decoder. WinLame is the Windows version of the encoder-decoder. Now, the cool thing about WinLame, though, is it is open source, and so it does translate MP3 to OGG Vorbis. Very cool. So, you can take all your MP3s, convert them all to OGG Vorbis, and when the evil minions of Alcatel-Lucent come down in their stormtrooper outfits and try to take over the world by telling us that we can't use our MP3s, we can laugh and say, "Ha! I've converted all mine to OGG Vorbis, so I don't have MP3s anymore." So there. There you go. Anyway, you might wonder why this podcast is so disorienting and strange and confusing, because I don't have a whole lot to talk about other than the fact that this is the first podcast, probably appropriately so, that we will have an OGG Vorbis format version and an OGG streaming audio version posted on the web later today. Probably by the time you get around to listening to this, it will be far past later today. It will probably be next week. It's time travel paradoxes, I tell you. It's just amazing. At any rate, so there you go. That's kind of pretty much all I have to talk about. You know, I diligently look through all of YouTube and all over the web, and it's like the guy asked me, you know, in the email that he sent me, where do you get all the geek culture? Sometimes you just come up dry because there's just not enough geek culture out there that's really worthwhile. There's a whole lot of junk out there. Matter of fact, I saw so much junk as I was looking for this that it was actually kind of depressing. Too much junk. But at any rate, I guess we'll just kind of let it go this week and not try to do anything terribly exciting. I did tell you about the bunny game on Thursday. Now, if you get bored enough, you can always go play the bunny game. By the way, just a slight update on the bunny game. You know, I tried really hard with the bunny game, and I diligently used my mouse to jump the little bunny up and down the little bells, and I managed to get up around, 2100, you know, thereabouts for a score. That was my high score, and I was so proud of myself. And then, of course, the game master came along. I showed it to my son, Ben, who is the game master, and he immediately went up to, like, 22,000! I guess it's significant practice with eye-hand coordination regarding video games and things of that nature. And, of course, the fact that he rocks. Anyway, he blew me out of the water, so, you know, kind of makes me wonder if I go back to the old days of the Radio Shack color computer, which had 4K of RAM, and I loaded the programs with a cassette tape sitting beside it going into some wires that went into the audio ports. Ah, yes, I remember those days. In those days, there was a game that I used to play with little alien spaceships zapping things, and I had the high score of all time. It was even published in Color Computer Magazine with a little photograph of the official high score, and it only took me about a full 8 hours to get that high score continuously, because you couldn't pause the game. Yeah, those were the days. Much younger, much stranger. Actually, maybe not stranger, but younger. At any rate, apparently some of that gaming gene transferred into the Game Master over here, who always sits on the couch beside me, staring at his laptop, as he is now. Reading, it appears, internet, what would you call that, comic strip, I guess? Sprite comic, I see. Anyway, he keeps occupied over there while I'm doing the podcast, which, of course, this week is easy to do because podcast just isn't that interesting. Oh, well, anyway, I'm looking through my email here while we're talking, just, you know, casually letting the clock spin down, because somebody sent me an email this week that was really kind of cool. It was from somewhere in Europe. I don't remember because I can't find the email now. You know, I could cheat, actually, and just do a search. Let's do that, shall we? Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. No, that's not it. How about Ubuntu? I remember it had to do with Ubuntu. Yes, there it is. See that? The trick, you see, when you do a search is to remember a word within the message. Okay, let me read you the message. It's from David, who is in the UK. That's the United Kingdom, for those of you in Rio Linda. All right, here we go. It says, "Hi, Dr. Bill. I just have to tell you this. I have a developer colleague who has just installed Vista at home, a dumbed-down version. Prior to the install, he ran a test to see if his PC was up to spec. It was, so he bought and he installed Vista. It took him a whole day off work, to install it. Then he found out his graphics card wouldn't do the Aero Glass thing. He had to go buy another graphics card. The upgrade cost him £160 for Vista and the card. Now, you see, in the United Kingdom, they use pounds for currency. Actually, I thought they used euros now for currency, but anyway, I digress. So I have given him some grief over that. I've been using Ubuntu for about a year and podcasts for about the same time. Last week I downloaded yours. I was looking for some fresh cast. I loved it from the first listing. Then it got even better. You were knocking Microsoft and bigging up Ubuntu. Actually listening to your podcast in hospital waiting room getting my broken finger looked at. Thought you might like to know. dude, hope it's feeling better. Man, I had a root canal like 2 weeks ago, and it was no fun at all. And broken fingers are about the same. Just not good. Anyway, again, I digress. So let's go back to the message. So today I thought I would watch the barrel vidcast, and whilst watching it, my colleague came in and caught it. He watched everything. You slating Microsoft off the barrel shots. He wanted me to send him a link for the Ubuntu.org result. As we say in the UK, great stuff. Keep up the good work. Regards, David. Well, thanks, David. I appreciate that. And I want you to know that you made my day sending me that email. It's good to know that Dr. Bill is converting people away from Microsoft and over to the good side. You know, the evil empire. We've got to somehow stand up against them. There you go. Anyway, so here's what we've got this week. We have just a few minutes on Og Vorbis. We have just a few minutes on Scott Redman giving us a new header for the website. We had an email from a listener who actually watched the DrBill.TV video cast and Ubuntu, and we had that, and we had some retread geek culture and a few spots for techpodcast.com. All in all, not exactly a stellar podcast, but you know, every so often, you have an off week, and we'll chalk this one up as an off week. But here's the thing, it's because I didn't have the material having done the podcast on Thursday. So, if you haven't heard Thursday's podcast, go back and listen to that. And that, of course, would be podcast number 77, and number 78 is kind of in the can now. So we'll slide on out of here. Come back next week, really. Come back. It'll be better. It will. I promise it will. In the meantime, Dr. Bill is out of here. Maybe I should have waited.